Bart, I've asked you not to whistle that annoying tune.
Yo, everybody, and welcome back once again to Simpsons is Greater Than, a podcast about the cultural impact of The Simpsons that apparently uploads an episode whenever it feels like it. As always, I am your host, Warren, better known to some of you as Bart of Darkness. You might know me from my Simpsons collection over on Instagram or Twitter.
Be honest, it's great, isn't it? Go ahead and say it's great if you want to.
But if not, when you're done with this episode, if you could do me a massive favor, a huge favor, it would mean so much to me. If you rolled over there on either one of those things, whichever one you prefer, I don't know if you're more of a Twitter person, more of an Instagram person, you can find me pretty much anywhere. Go check it out and let me know what you think. But it's not just me here this week, and I'm sure if you're listening to this episode, you already knew that because you have been listening to this podcast for so long now. And you know that when I do a Q&A, I have my main man, Botter Milligan.
Oh, come on. Too much.
Come on, let that ride. Don't even kill it early. Let it ride,
Botter.
Too
much, man. It's too much.
Let it ride.
Thank you. I know. All right, guys, seriously. Oh, damn, that's the first time I've ever heard it actually fade out.
Man, see, that's why I said let it ride. And that's, you know, Botter, how are you? Welcome back to the show, man.
Thank you, man. I appreciate it. It feels like a minute. I wish I had the luxury that you have to just be all willy-nilly about your podcast schedule. Some of us are, dropping episodes weekly, you know, showing love and respect to our listeners.
You know, I acknowledge that I have fallen off on the schedule, but I know each and every one of you, I'm just going to smooth it over right here. Watch this. Each and every one of you understand because you are a fan of Bart of Darkness, you're a fan of Simpsons is Greater Than, and you realize that sometimes life gets you busy and you just can't find time to record. But also, on a serious note, I do appreciate the patience. And we'll talk a little bit about, you know, the delay and what's going on and how much more of one there should be and all that before we get into the questions. So we'll get into all that. Botter, what's been new with you over on your podcast? Though I will give you an opportunity. If people need something to fill the void in between my episodes and they're just now checking it out, what have you been working on over on Shortbox?
So you mean if they need to fill the void basically on a weekly basis after this, for the next 4 weeks after this episode drops?
Yeah, what can they go listen to over on Shortbox?
Well, they should definitely go listen to the Shortbox podcast if they are fans of comic book or pop culture or comic-related pop culture topics, an amalgam of all that. We cover all of that. We are currently doing a Moon Knight weekly review series. We'll see how long before I regret making that decision to do a weekly review series. But Moon Knight's been a lot of fun, so we're covering that every week. And then by the time this episode drops, my interview with Jordan over at the League of Comic Geeks should be dropping. So still doing interviews, still doing comic book spotlights, still talking with the best comic creators in the game. So if any of that piques your interest, man, come on over to the Shortbox podcast and give it a listen and subscribe.
Yeah, you should all be doing that anyway. And I know I always say that up top on these Q&As, but I really do mean it. And also Moon Knight, man, really, really fun show. I am so stoked on how it's been so far. And I trust that at least some of you are already watching that. But if you're not, you should be. So another thing I do want to mention, and this is, you know, I know it's dumb to sort of roll in and say, hey, you know I haven't been dropping episodes lately. I'm really sorry, but let's talk about giving me money. So people are always saying to me, you know, Warren, I want to give you money. Wow. And if you want to do that, right now, Stance Socks, I'm sure all of you like socks. Hopefully you wear them. If you don't wear socks, your friends probably don't like that you don't wear them. So wear socks. But Stance specifically is doing Simpsons socks right now, and they actually gave me some stuff to give away, which I did, and they also gave me an affiliate link. And what that means is that if you go to Bart of Darkness on Instagram and buy them through my link, I get a cut of that. And I'm sure all of you would much rather me get a little piece of that money than just give it to Stance, wouldn't you? I mean, wouldn't you bother?
I've already done it and I kind of regret it, but yeah, I definitely, definitely would recommend people do it that way.
Yeah, get yourself some cool socks while also giving me a small cut of that. And that would mean a lot. And if you don't want socks for some reason, you've heard me talk about Ko-fi or coffee. I don't actually know if you're supposed to say it like coffee or not, but you can find the link to the Stance thing in my bio. You can also find the Ko-fi link there, or you can find them both in the description of this episode. And both of those things will give me a little bit of money, which will probably help free up more time for this podcast and other things. So, yeah, go do that, please.
In the words of Bart Simpson,
up and at 'em.
Get to buying some socks, damn it. Especially if you've been someone that's enjoying this show since day one for the F-R-E-E, okay? I mean, yeah. It's the very least, all right? Like, you know, step your feet game up, you know, dress them up, and buy my man a coffee.
Please. And if I don't know if I have any listeners that also enjoy the Bodega Boys podcast. Those guys hardly ever update their feed anymore. I don't remember the last time they posted an episode, but they used to joke around on there. People would be like, hey, you know, where are the new episodes? And Desus would just be like, hey, I just want to remind all y'all, this shit's free. So before you go beating down my door, this shit's free. But no, I appreciate everyone that is eager for these episodes. I appreciate the messages. That never bothers me. So I just want to say thanks that you listen and thanks for wanting episodes, even when I don't have them. So, you know, I will say up top that the podcast has been slow for a magnitude of reasons, one of which... I actually quit my job, and the reason for that is I have some other projects coming, both having to do with Bart of Darkness and other things related to that. It also, you know, I might be starting a business of my own, and these are things I won't go into a lot of detail about, but just know that it's not just laziness. I do have some cool things coming, which will, like I said, impact the podcast in a positive way. I'm looking at new types of episodes. I hope that everyone enjoyed sort of the deep dive I did on Itchy and Scratchy Land with Brandon. He's going to definitely be on the show more often. Keep your eyes peeled for that. I might be doing more stuff for YouTube. I might even try to do a Patreon, but that might not even be exclusively for the podcast. It might have something more to do with Bart of Darkness and different types of content. So, you know, I know I put polls out there randomly asking, would this interest you and things like that? And a lot of you say that it would, but if this is the first you're hearing of it, shoot me a message and let me know if you're into that, if you want more types of content. And, you know, there are still some things that I've teased. I think I teased back in January. Botter knows what I'm talking about. And I'm not quite ready to announce what that project is, but I know for a fact, everyone listening will be super stoked about that. I cannot wait to announce that. I've been sort of teasing it. And that is going to be with someone else who has been on the podcast. So that is just make sure you got reading glasses. That'll be the hint I drop in this episode. I think that's pretty explanatory, but maybe not. We'll see.
I think all of those nice life updates definitely deserves its own round of applause.
Oh, come on.
You deserve it. You deserve
oh, come
it.
On.
Congratulations. You're taking some bold steps in life, and proud of you, man.
No, I mean, I appreciate that, Botter. And, you know, everyone just ride with me as I shake the dust off and get back into podcast land. There's going to be some cool episodes coming up, though, and I really appreciate that. Again, I will stress it. I will repeat myself. I'm very excited about a lot of this stuff coming up, and I'm excited to tell you all about it. But, Botter, unless you have anything crazy, Botter, I'm going to tell a story before we actually get into questions. And this is a late addition to my notes. But I just think, you know, I want to get Botter's live reaction. We all remember the story about the Grubhub driver that I told several episodes ago.
Yeah.
So I like to tell a story and get Botter's live reaction from time to time. So, this one is not as long and drawn out, but I still think it'll be funny for the podcast. So I don't know if any of you are familiar with the movie that is coming out soon called Father Stew. Botter, have you seen trailers for that or anything? Mark Wahlberg?
No, and I'm surprised because I kind of got a man crush on Mark Wahlberg.
Yeah, I mean, Mark Wahlberg's pretty cool, but I will say this movie looks like hot garbage. And
he's usually his batting average for movies sometimes is a little questionable, especially as of lately.
Yeah, okay, and it's got Mel Gibson in it, which I didn't know he still acted in movies. And you know, there's a lot of It's based on a true story. Okay. Maybe that interests some of you. I guess it's, you know, like sort of a ragtag sort of, you know, a guy had a rough life and ends up becoming a priest, and but he still has sort of a rough edge to him as a priest. I mean, it's just not personally a story that appeals to me at all. But so I've seen this trailer a handful of times, and I just think this trailer looks so bad. And, you know, like one does, I open up my phone, I go to one of my group chats, and this is a group chat I'm in with some of my oldest friends. I mean, people I've been friends with for decades at this point. And one of them notably is one of my best friends in the world named Daly Evans. I want to give Daly a little shout out, a lot of history with Daly. And I hope he's listening to this right now. And in the chat, I go, man, I can't get over how bad this trailer for Father Stu looks. And everyone sort of goes, oh, I haven't seen it, whatever. Daly goes, oh, like the dad from Rugrats. And I said, what are you talking about? And he said, oh, like, is it a movie about Stu Pickles? I take a second and I go, of course not. Are you fucking crazy? To which he goes, well, Jesus, man, I haven't seen the trailer. I mean, that's the only Stu that I know.
My man needs to get out and warm me more Stews.
So this goes, we go into like an hour long. You know, I'm not being honest. This went on and off for the rest of the afternoon. It even went into the next morning of us basically arguing over whether or not it was ridiculous that he honestly thought there could be a movie in 2022 about Stu Pickles from Rugrats. And I just want to go on record as saying that I find that hilarious. And Daly did not think it was that funny. He was like, man, they make movies about anything. I really don't think it's that ridiculous. So I need to hear from everyone. Shoot me a message. Let me know if you think that is as funny as I do. I mean, Botter, on paper, is that funny to you? Is it funny that he was unironically assuming that the most logical thing was that it was a movie about the dad from Rugrats?
Okay, so first of all, yeah, I'm in full agreement that the fact that he pulled Stu Pickles out of thin air for a solo movie at that, and to your point, to 2022, like, not even like, you know, it's not even gonna be branded a Rugrats movie. They decided out of nowhere, you know what, let's talk about that one dad on Rugrats. But to shoot him some bail, I was gonna, you know, extra clown, but I was like, you know what, I had a joke where Stu Pickles, I don't even think is a top 10, you know, cartoon dad. So I typed in famous cartoon dads, and he's on a list. He's on a New York Daily News list of top 10 cartoon dads from Homer to Popeye. But still, ain't nobody making a dedicated movie about Stu Pickles. What would it be about? Like his wild college years?
Well, not only that, but the Pickle family are Jewish. He's not a priest. This is why I find it so funny. Yeah. And I don't know. I hope some of you, as this story goes on, it starts to sink in why I think it's so funny. It's the fact that he assumed it was about Stu Pickles, or that wasn't a funny thing to assume, but furthermore, that they would make a movie about Stu Pickles and call it Father Stu, to which he said, well, that's the only father named Stu that I know. I, even as I sit here telling Botter the story, I can't wrap my head around it.
I do like his dedication, though, to the defending like the plausibility of this, right? Like, where he's like, look, it's not that crazy. And it's like, I don't know. I've never thought of Stu Pickles since like the 90s.
Right. So me and Daly have been arguing about who has to hold that L for about 2 days. I will rely on all of you to weigh in on who really lost that argument. But Botter, you know, this is a Q&A. Let's answer some questions. Got some really good ones today.
So we're getting into the meat and potatoes.
Yeah, man. Come on.
Well, I guess in your case, we're getting into the green beans and potatoes.
We're getting into the beyond meat and potatoes.
There we go. I like it. All right. So I guess this first one to kick us off comes from Jake's Review Corner. Jake wants to know, is there any Simpson comic you would love to see adapted into an episode?
So there are so many cool comics, and that's actually a really good first question, especially for an episode with Botter. Obviously, I've been on Shortbox talking about Radioactive Man and things like that. I love to talk about Bongo comics. I think there are so many good answers for this, and there are so many that would fit seamlessly into the show. But because, you know, I'm thinking of things that would be unique and really stand out, I think one thing I would love to see would be, you know, a story. I would love to see them act out the Bartman story in an animated way and actually do all six parts, like do like a little mini series where they do the whole Bartman six issue run as an episode. I just feel like that would be something really unique that they wouldn't even have to acknowledge the show within, really, that I think would be really fun. That's something that jumped out at me immediately. I don't know if that sounds as interesting to some of you, but what do you think about that, Butter?
I figured Bartman would have been your go-to, not because I've got the notes pulled up on my screen, but I think we talked about it on our Radioactive Man episode that we did for Shortbox. And if I'm not mistaken, I might have chimed in and said, you know, Radioactive Man, in my opinion, would have made a great, you know, I think animated movie or something like
sure.
that. And correct me if I'm wrong, didn't Bill Morrison, whether it was on my podcast or yours, didn't he confirm that they had plans to make a Radioactive Man like animated? I think it was an animated series, not a movie.
There was talk of an animated series about Radioactive Man. So I would just really, you know, I think we've seen, especially, and this will, you know, I'll get into this in some of the other questions, but we've seen the show take some really big swings, especially in this current season. And so I think doing something totally off the wall like that, where they just, you know, almost don't acknowledge the run of the show and do like a superhero story around Bartman, I think that would be really, really cool. It doesn't even have to follow those comics, you know, that closely. Just give me something like that.
Yeah, it's got enough like continuity and its own kind of like canon. They could just kind of build off it.
Yeah, I think that'd be really, really fun, man. So hopefully that answers your question, Jake.
Awesome. All right, this next one is from mutual friend and mutual supporter of both of our podcasts, our boy Wade Austin Ellis.
My man. What up, Austin?
All right, Austin wants to know, if you transported to Springfield, which group do you honestly feel you would mesh with?
So it really depends on what era of my life that I'm in, because, you know, I was thinking about that, and I don't know if it's necessarily like who I am the most like, or who I feel like I have the most in common with, or if it's, you know, who I would have tried to impress, you know, like when you're in school and you want certain groups to think that you're cool, you want to hang out with certain groups. But I think if you took my current personality and applied it to someone Bart's age, I think I'd get along with Bart and Lisa. I think I'm somewhere sort of in between, both of them. So I think, I don't know if there's a group necessarily that I would mesh with directly, but I think I would have a good relationship with that family. Therefore, you know, I would be someone who can hang out with Lisa. I'd be someone who can hang out with Bart. So I guess I would sort of hang out with the bullies. Maybe I would sort of teach Bart he didn't have to impress those bullies. But I think that's a tough one, because do I go in knowing what I know, or am I zapped back in time to that age and have to go at it that way? I think it depends on the context.
I feel like I'd get along with Lenny and Carl and Moe's bar peeps pretty well.
Yeah. I mean, I think there is, you know, Springfield is such a wild cast of characters. I think you could really sort of find your way with any of them. But I'm going to say, you know, I think my personality is best described somewhere between Bart and Lisa. I was definitely a lot more like Bart as a kid. I'm a lot more like Lisa as an adult. So I think I would just be I'd be able to hang out with anyone. I think I would really get along with both of them. So as I'm answering this question, I realize it's sort of not what Austin asked, but I'm going to leave it at that.
All right.
I guess that's not a group at all, but there you go.
Shout out to our boy Austin.
Yeah. So this next one is from another Austin who always has great questions. And we always sort of laugh about his screen name. And that is Scott Stapp, lead singer of Creed, which is still one of my favorite screen names. It's so good. I love this one, Botter.
All right. Well, Scott asks, you're tasked with creating a character for the show. You can pick anyone to voice the character, dead or alive. They can't say no, and money is no issue. What character would you create, and who would voice them?
When I read this question, my mind immediately went to one person. And I know that I've talked on this podcast before about how much I love Tommy Boy, the movie. And I think I think it's got to be Chris Farley is the voice of the character, especially with, you know, the fact that I can bring anyone in to do it. And I think if you take a character, you know, like Matt Foley from SNL, the sort of salesman type guy who lived in a van down by the river, I think if you took that sort of take and even designed the character in that sort of model, you know, with the, you know, he's a little overweight, his shirt's tucked in, his suit's a little too small. I think if you took that and sort of maybe dialed it back, and worked someone like that into the world, I think he would fit right in. I think he would fit in sort of with like a, you know, a Gil type character. He's pathetic also in that way. He's like somewhere in between Gil and comic book guy almost. So I think he would really fit in that world. I mean, am I wrong? What do you think?
Yeah, that's solid. Chris Farley would make an excellent addition. I mean, hell, he was kind of like a Simpsons character in real life, right? Like a real life Simpsons character.
And I dare anyone, even at his worst, name something that he wasn't funny in. I mean, even like Beverly Hills Ninja, which as an adult, I acknowledge is not a good movie, but I wore that thing out, man. I watched it so many times. What a bad premise. What an awful idea for a movie. But Chris just made everything funny. So I think he'd be great. And he was doing some voice acting towards the end of his life. He was actually, I don't think this is news to anyone, but he was supposed to be the original voice of Shrek. And he had even recorded lines for that. But then he passed away, and you can find them online. They are funny. It's pretty different than what, you know, how he ended up saying, how he ended up sounding. But, so I think Chris would have fit right in, and I'm willing to bet had he not, passed away so tragically, I think he would have eventually done a voice on The Simpsons, even if it was a guest spot. So Chris Farley is what jumps out at me. It's what I immediately think of. And so that's what I got to go with.
You know, fun fact, Beverly Hills Ninja is still a better movie than the Stew Pickles movie we would have got this year.
Oh, you mean Father Stew, the movie that is clearly about the father from Rugrats? That movie?
I think you're meant to take the title literally. Like, it is about Father Stew, father of Stew Pickles.
And I mean, come on, man. Everyone listening to this, man, I can give you another stew right now. Ever heard of Disco Stew Daily?
Keeping it
come
topical.
On, man.
That would actually make for a pretty solid Simpsons spinoff movie.
Right now, there. I would much rather watch a movie about Disco Stew than Stew Pickles. And I liked Rugrats. I'm not saying anything bad about Stew Pickles.
Yo, what if?
How do you make a movie about Stew Pickles, man? I'm just going to keep coming back to this. How the fuck do you make a movie about Stew Pickles?
What if this Disco Stew movie, what if you had, now I'm running with it, you know, it's called Father Stew, and it's about the story of Disco Stew becoming Disco Stew. He was originally, he came from a very strict religious household, and he was meant to become a father, but ends up finding Disco and finds, you know, his passion in life.
That's the
Father Stew movie I want to see.
That's already a better idea than a movie about Stew Pickles. I love it, man.
All right. This next question comes from Late Few Cinema. They ask, what is your favorite recent season of The Simpsons?
I just want to point out that I messed that up in my notes, and it's actually Late Fee Cinema. So I'm sorry, guys. We'll just leave it at that. Favorite recent season of The Simpsons. So I feel like every time I get a question like this, I always, you know, like I do, repeat myself and say, oh, I think it's the current season. But I honestly do, in this case, think it is the current season. And I think the last few, I would say, you know, 26 to current is normally my response, has been really solid, probably the best run since the mid-teens. But this season in particular is so good, and I feel like I see more praise online for it from a wider range of fans, right, than I normally have in these last couple of years. I mean, Pixelated and Afraid is an episode I've ranted about recently on Twitter, that I think it's the most original thing the show has done in decades. They take a story that's not really that funny. It's like sort of dark and sort of sad. It's way more sincere than it should be. It moved me in a very real way. I was emotional afterwards. And for a show that I've been watching for this long, to do that to me, I think that's, you know, that's proof that they're in a real stride right now. And just to break down that premise, I mean, they are on their way somewhere and they have a car accident and they're stranded in the woods. They don't have, their phones are broken. They don't know how to get home. There's, you know, they have to build shelter to survive. That's not a story that you would normally hear on a show like The Simpsons and it not be like, you know, a gag. This episode is very much played in a serious way at times. Homer has to save Marge's life. I mean, it's very, so to see the show take swings like that, you know, 33 seasons into its run, is really special. I mean, Boys in the Highlands is another one that's really great. Bart's in Jail was awesome. You guys remember me talking to Nick Dahan on the show. A Serious Flanders, also great. The two-part episode, the sort of the Fargo parody, but also, you know, way more than that. Also some sincerity that you don't always get on the show. Felt really different, really stood out. And to have all of those in this season, definitely, I think, makes it the strongest in a while. And I think even if you're not big on, say, 31 and 32, or you've heard me say how good they are and you still don't agree, go run those episodes I'm talking about. Watch this current season. I think a lot of you will be very pleasantly surprised.
Good answer. All right, so this next question comes from Sam Olivastro. Hopefully I'm saying that right. Apologize if not.
Yeah, I don't think I could do any better, Sam. So we're trying our best here.
But Sam wants to know, how can The Simpsons get back to their older seasons, humor-wise?
Well, you know, Sam, I mean this in the nicest way possible, man. You must be new here. Mm. You must not be listening to a lot of Simpsons is Greater Than, and that's okay, man. I would argue that The Simpsons is still has a similar humor to its older seasons. I think there's a lot of factors at play. This is something I talk about a lot. I sort of talked about it in the last answer. I don't think it's an issue of the humor really changing. I think The Simpsons is still very much so, you know, the jokes are still Simpsons jokes. I don't think you could really transport them to other shows and then make sense. They are still there's still a very particular Simpsons style of humor, and I do think the show still has it. I think things like animation, you know, the fact that they don't always get to record in one room, I think there are other contributing factors to some of that feeling different. You know what I mean? I think there are other less obvious reasons that people think the show feels very different. And, you know, I think I remember Al Jean even said this way back in episode 4, I believe he said something to the effect of, if you took a modern episode, or maybe I said this to him, if you take a modern episode and you animate it in the style of a classic season, I really don't think most people would notice the difference between a classic episode and a current episode. I think I remember Al said, if you took a modern episode and an old episode and you showed them to, you know, a set of aliens who had never seen the show, I don't think they would find that much difference between them. Hmm. I think there's a lot of nostalgia. There's a lot of things tied to those early seasons that will always make them feel different. And, you know, people that listen to the show a lot, they've heard me say that a lot, but I really do think it's true. I think if you just took the audio from a classic and the audio from a, you know, a modern one that you know pretty well and listen to them back to back, I think the humor will feel pretty similar. I don't think it's tied to the humor. I think it's tied to the visuals and a lot of other things. So as far as how they get back there, I think they're there. I think it's just a lot of seasons of a show.
I almost feel like challenging you to do so.
Okay.
To take, I got a few ideas, right? Because I feel like we get this question a lot. If not every Q&A, at least
A version of it.
Yeah, a version of it or more than these recent Q&A episodes, I feel like we've gotten some form of it. So Sam, I do encourage you to maybe check out some of those other Q&As I feel like you've answered that question in different takes, but for the most part, you got the spirit of it. So two ideas I've got. One, you should almost maybe do an episode going into a little more depth, I think, about this particular question or topic. Mm. Even if it's a short one, at least you have something to always reference to, like, yo, we'll check out episode, you know, 60, where I break down, you know, the main difference.
I like that idea.
I like the idea of maybe you coming up with whether it be a new segment or a game where you take audio from older seasons and audio from newer seasons and challenge folks to either, and give them just two options, right? Is it a new season beyond this point, or is it an old classic episode? And see if people can kind of like, I think it'd be a fun experiment to see if it holds up like you say it does, and then some of the reactions people get.
Yeah, maybe take like a more obscure joke from season, like not like a I can't bust out exactly. Like a Camp Krusty line versus like, you know, but yeah, take like a, you know, a more or take something within the parameters that most people speak on, right? Mm. Put that joke in, take an episode from a more recent year that I think is really great, put them side by side, and let them just guess what era they're from. I think that would be kind of fun. I do like that idea, Botter.
You're welcome.
Look at Botter coming through with the good ideas for a change.
And I just like want to tell, you know, all the Simpsons Greater Than listeners, you guys can thank me for, you know, having Warren create more content for you guys. Just, you know, give me a follow on the short box, right? That's how you can pay me back.
You know, I'm gonna agree with that. Go do that. And also, make sure you guys check out the movie called Father Stew about Stew Pickles from Rugrats.
I really hope your best friend is not listening to this. Like, God damn it, this is the one that he wanted me to listen to?
Oh, damn. I forgot I already brought that up. Okay, yeah. Okay, next question.
All right, next question comes from, bear with me here. Is it Gergi Manson?
I assume it's George, but he doesn't have the O in his name. I'm not sure. George, I'm sorry about that. I think we've done this to his name before.
I'm running with Gergi Manson. I'm sorry.
Okay, Gergi Manson.
If it's George, I apologize. What's wrong with Gergi Manson? They want to know, what is your dream animation cell? Obviously, the pinnacle is a cell of Bart with his Scratchy's arm cell.
So, as for the dream cell, and there's a second part of that question we can read.
Oh, okay. I apologize. My apologies. All right. So the second part is, also, ever hear of Terra Melos?
Got it. You said that perfectly.
Awesome. Lots of Simpsons in their merch. Used to have a horrible big papier mache, I think from memory. Bart, whenever they played live, songs such as A Spoonful of Slurry and 40 Rods to the Hog's Head.
So I was, and the reason I wanted you to go and read that second part before I answer the first part is, I have never been asked this, but I love Terra Melos. And I, you know, it's been a few years since I've really listened to them, and I haven't really thought about how much Simpsons inspired stuff they use. I remember they had a shirt that had like Itchy and Scratchy on it with like chainsaws. I want to say there's photos of them drawn as the Simpsons, you know, among other things, like he said, song titles. So I just want to give, you know, Gergi or George some credit for pointing that out. And anyone that hasn't heard them, very cool, sort of an experimental, mostly instrumental band. They have several records. And I really would love to track down Nick from Terra Melos and have him on the podcast. So that's something I've already noted that I would like to do. Really interesting band. I want to call them more obscure. I guess they do have a following, so I don't know if that's the correct word. Like, they're not some really small band, but they haven't done anything in a few years, so they might be new to some of you. So Terra Melos is definitely cool. Definitely a lot of Simpsons popping up in their song titles and in their t-shirts and all of that. So that's really cool. As far as a dream animation cell, I'll get to the main question here. It's tough. And I, you know, like with all Q&As, when I read the question, I make a couple notes for myself and I try to remember, like, you know, or I try to come up with sort of a, you know, an answer that feels genuine and not just off the top of the dome. You know what I mean? But I think the obvious answer is, because it's my favorite episode, it would have to be something from Marge Be Not Proud. I mean, you know, I wrote down him with all the game characters around his head, or maybe him with like the chin putty disguise. I think either one of those would rank really high. Who Shot Mr. Burns is one of my favorite episodes. So maybe like Homer grabbing Burns out of bed when he's shaking him towards the end would be one that I would want. Anything Itchy and Scratchy. I've really been wanting an Itchy and Scratchy cell. Something from Itchy and Scratchy Land, maybe the robots would be great. But honestly, I would settle for, I mean, something from like My Bloody Valentine would be great. Any Itchy and Scratchy cell from one of the shorts would just be top notch, especially something from the Treehouse segment focused around them. So I think any of those would go great in my collection, but I also realize that that's not really defining one. So I'm going to say, just to give a direct answer, I will say Bart with the chin putty from Marge Be Not Proud, I think would be like a top three cell that I want.
That's legit. I had an idea for a cell, but I think it'd work way better as one of those stained glass pieces. Who was the artist that you had that did the...
Oh, Snip Glass. Shout out to Snip Glass.
Yeah, shout out to Snip Glass. I was going to say a really cool cell that I could see me framing and like putting up like in the living room, right? Like as a art piece would be from Bart Sells the Soul. But at the end, when he finally gets to row the boat with his soul, and this kind of, don't they go off until like the sunset or something like that?
Yes.
I think that'd be a really endearing sell, but I think it'd look way cooler as a stained glass. Like if Snipglass did like that scene, I think that'd be fire.
That would be great. That would also be awesome. I could see that being something that Alex Mayhew, another friend of the show, as doing like a gold leaf frame photo would also be really fire. I also want to say that exact cell botter, that breaks my heart because it was within reach. That exact cell was given away. It was like raffled off for charity by my friend Mike McCobb. So I have seen that cell. It is beautiful. I did not win it, but I tried to win it. So that cell is out there. There's got to be at least a couple more frames of it floating around out there. So if I ever see that for a good price, man, I'll see what I can do for you.
I appreciate it. All right. So this next question, moving on to our next question, we got one from a plastic_flashback. They want to know, is purple really a fruit? If you could try one meal or snack that you've seen on The Simpsons, what would it be and why?
I mean, Homer said purple's a fruit, so I'm going to agree with him. Purple is definitely a fruit. One meal or snack that I've seen on The Simpsons, and what would it be and why? What would I want to try? So I've talked to Bill Oakley about this, food expert. Everyone knows and loves Bill. Two-time guest on the show. I've also talked to Laurel Randolph, who authored the unofficial Simpsons cookbook, about this, and I still don't really know the answer. So this is the first time that I've actually thought of something that I haven't already said or even really considered until now. So tell me what you think about this, Botter. The episode where Homer accidentally makes tamako, and Chief Wiggum and Ralph try it. They say it tastes like grandma and they get sort of addicted to it because of the tobacco content. But I'm assuming that because it is, you know, organic, that it's not actually harmful. And I sort of imagine it being like a smoky, sort of, you know, like an interesting flavor profile on a tomato. I choose to believe that everyone is not purely hooked on it because of the tobacco, and maybe it's because it's just that good.
There might be something to it, you know.
Yeah, I mean, I know that's the joke, like, but I think it could be really good. I mean, imagine, everyone knows I love hot sauce. Imagine something like a smoky tomato, like a naturally smoky tomato in like a salsa or a hot sauce. That sounds intriguing to me.
So the flavor profiles I think of that come to mind when I think tamako, like you said, smoky. I'm also thinking tarry and addictive.
Yeah, I mean, I guess so. but I'm going to say, I'll go on record and say, if it is not harmful or truly addictive.
Okay, put it in my salsa. That's a good idea.
Yeah, I think that sounds good. A smoky tomato sounds really good. And, you know, obviously, I like the hot stuff. I wouldn't mind trying Chief Wiggum's Insanity Pepper Chili.
Yeah, I wouldn't mind tripping balls based off of chili, too. Yeah.
I mean, you know, hey, shout out to the crew over at Disenchantment who sent me a bunch of that Disenchantment hot sauce. And even the Zog sauce, which was an 8 out of 10, they say, was just delicious. Hmm. So I like it hot, baby. So I'm willing to bet I could handle that Insanity Pepper. I mean, maybe I'd like to try Ned's, you know, what is it? 5-alarm chili. Mm-hmm. Says it's 2, maybe 3 alarms at best. I'd be down to try some of that chili, but that's my answer. Tamako, as long as it doesn't, give me lung cancer, I'm with it.
I think I would love to try the, is it the crusty, fish sandwich?
Oh, like,
what was the one that, Bart ends up, rubbing up against the wall and it makes it all clear?
It's a fish sandwich. Yeah.
And I don't even like fish sandwiches from like fast food restaurants, but I gotta see how nasty it is. Something about like how greasy it is intrigues me.
Something I talked about with Dan Graney on a recent episode is he was frustrated with Bill Oakley for giving the Sandwich of the Year award to a fish sandwich from Arby's. So apparently some people are out there enjoying a fish sandwich. But
for sure.
Yeah, tamako is my answer. Nice question, Plastic Flashback. I don't know your actual name, but there you go.
All right, moving on to the next question. This one comes from Off Simpsons Pupils.
Hey, shout out to them. They a great account. Everyone should be following them. And also comes through with a lot of good questions. I'm happy to see so many repeat question askers on this Q&A. So shout out to all of you.
Well, they want to know, which line of Simpson toys do you think has captured them the best?
So obviously, you know, you talk about toys, that's going to appeal to me. So, I mean, Off Simpsons Pupils knew what they were asking. They knew that this was going to make me think. And I think it's got to be Playmates. Huh. You know, I just don't think anything before Playmates really looked like, I mean, it was, it didn't really look on model like the show. I think that that's the first line that really, you know, they really dialed in how to make them look like the show. And that's why they even used, Playmates toys when they did the Robot Chicken collab intro, because those look the most like the show. At least that's my theory on that. But if we're talking just all together, I mean, Super 7 is giving them a run for their money. I can't wait to see those in person, but those are some impressive models on Super 7. So I think as far as what is out and has been out, Playmates has got to be it. If we're talking just stuff that exists but that I don't have yet, Super 7 is coming for them. Well, I do have the McBain figures, and those look fucking great. So, but I'm going to stick with Playmates. But as far as like a vintage toy, and I know some of you are like, oh, but what about Mattel? What about, you know, some of these other ones? I think the Burger King line of dolls from 1990, some of the first Simpsons dolls that most of you probably got if you're older, I think they sort of encompass the show as a whole really well. There's like that nostalgic element. They are super early. They are pretty good models to be, you know, I mean, they were probably sculpted in 1988. So I think that makes them sort of impressive. So I'll say all time Playmates looks the most like them. But something that really speaks to the show and speaks to, you know, sort of really rings that bell, I'll give the Burger King dolls the runner up.
Those are some good choices. More of a McFarlane man, McFarlane toys man myself.
McFarlane is great, man. I'll tell you the one reason I wouldn't say them over Playmates is McFarlane gives, and I might have said this before, they give all of them like eyeliner, essentially.
Yeah, I see what you mean. I think everything outside of that aspect is great, and I think the only reason they give them that black eyeliner because they're really trying to lean in on like the heavy kind of the ink lining, right?
Yeah,
or the inking,
which I respect, and I think it looks cool. I mean, I have some McFarlane toys that I think are some of the best ever made. But I just think pound for pound, the Playmates feel the best. I think I got to lean with that, but McFarlane's good. McFarlane's good.
All right, next question comes from the Fat Brittany. They want to know, given that Camp Krusty, the man who came to be dinner, and the Surfsons, thank you, were all at one point considered for being movies, which Simpsons episode would you expand into the next Simpsons movie?
So, you know, I think we often get questions that are like, if you could turn an episode into a movie, or I think we've answered similar things before, but I wanted to include this one anyway, because I do think that every time I read a question like this, my brain sort of goes down a different path. I want to say that in the past I said, you know, I would like to see a proper version of like a Camp Krusty movie. I'd like to see them do what they initially thought about doing, tell a longer form version of that story. I think that'd be really cool. But something that didn't really occur to me, and there's probably someone listening that's going to say, Warren, you literally said this already, but what didn't really occur to me in my memory until I read the question this time is, I would like to see a Christmas movie. Like, give me like a long form Christmas story. And that's not just because of my favorite episode being Marge Be Not Proud. I think you take something like Miracle on Evergreen Terrace, where Bart destroys the tree and the, you know, lies to the family. I think you could really flesh out a story like that in a movie form. I think you could really do something cool with that would stand alone in a way that maybe just a movie about a story, a normal story, wouldn't stand alone. So I really think that's something I would like to see them do is like a holiday centric story, maybe even lean into sort of the nostalgia of like a Home Alone style movie. I think you could really do something cool like that. Like I said, I did an episode recently that I'm sure most of you have heard with Brandon Withrow, where we talked about Itchy and Scratchy Land. I think that, as far as like, you know, a classic goes, could be a movie easily. They could really expand that story because so much happens in that 24 minutes or whatever it is. And I think you could get a lot of mileage out of a story like that. And I think that's sort of, you know, like me saying Christmas, I think a road trip, like a traveling movie like that, would be really, really fun. I don't know. Those are the things that come to mind.
Good answers. Good answers. All right, let's move on to this next question that comes from Ghostly Green Dino. They want to know, what was the first Simpsons-related thing you ever collected?
All right, so I've been doing this. I've been collecting Simpsons stuff at this point. I've been saying 7 or 8 years for a few years, I think. So I guess it's coming up close to 10 years that I've been collecting Simpsons stuff. And, you know, I didn't really go in to this collection thing thinking that I was going to collect. I went at it from an angle of, and I think I've told a version of this story either on this podcast or at least on Botter's podcast. I want to say the first time I was on Shortbox, I told a version of this story. But when I met my girlfriend, now wife, she had never really watched The Simpsons. She was familiar with it. She had seen episodes. She thought it was funny, but she had never really deep dove the show. And I used to, you know, before we lived together, I had one of my setups was a TV with an actual VCR. I used to watch a lot of old VHS tapes, and I liked watching some classic movies that way. And so, you know, we were downloading a lot of Simpsons because we didn't have all the DVDs at the time. But I was looking online. I was like, you know, it'd be cool to get some of these old VHS sets, some of these best of VHS sets. And so I found some at the time on eBay for a pretty good price. And then I realized there was only, you know, a few of them. I think there's like seven of them total, maybe eight. And I was like, you know, I think I'm just going to get these and try to have all of them. That'd be kind of fun on the shelf. They look nice. I love the packaging. So I remember being like, I'm going to buy these other two sets. So I have the first four or whatever. Then I realized there was like, oh, there's like a political set. There's a, you know, a Hollywood set. There's all these other sets. So I ended up buying all of them, and I just loved the way they looked on the shelf. Well, naturally, you have something cool on the shelf, you start to, you know, accentuate that a little bit. You're like, you know what? I'm going to get this Bart toy that I found at the flea market to sit next to my VHS tapes. Oh, would you look at that? Lego is coming out with all these new Simpsons Legos and their blind boxes. That'd be kind of fun to open. And then before you know it, you have a box, then you have a closet, then you have a room, then you have an angry wife, and then you say, look, I promise I'll slow down, and then she forgives you, and then you start an Instagram, and then, you know, it just snowballs from there. So you've all heard me talk about the origin of the Instagram. I don't know how in depth I've talked about the fact that those VHS sets were the main reason that I, you know, started picking up Simpsons stuff here and there. And I also, you know, I think it's worth noting that those came out in the early 2000s, like sort of around the same time as the DVDs, maybe a little before. And that packaging is extremely 90s. It looks really, it looks really cool to be from the early 2000s. And, you know, as a huge advocate of Bill Morrison, as Botter is as well, Bill Morrison did all of the art on those VHS tapes, which is something I didn't know at the time. I think maybe there's one or two sets that someone else did, but I know for a fact Bill did most of it, and he even still has some of the original art from those. So as a big fan of his, you know, that makes it even cooler in a way. To have started that way and then that, you know, been able to develop a friendship with Bill and get to know Bill. And, you know, so that's kind of a cool tie around that I'm not realizing until I give this answer, but, that's a really cool thing. And those VHS sets still worth buying because they have Who Shot Mr. Burns back to back on one tape, which is way more fun than having to change out your disc and go to the next season when you're watching the DVD.
That's a good point. I think you forgot a few steps in that, collector's evolution. You forgot to mention that after Angry Wife, it becomes a smart investment. It also becomes potential retirement fund.
Yes.
And then, you know, worst case scenario, if you choose not to sell it off, it becomes an epic shrine.
Yeah. You know, well, I will point out that I said Angry Wife, but she was actually just my girlfriend at the time, and she still married me, so obviously she got over it. But also, Botter brings up a good point because I spent a lot of time being like, look, Emily, trust me, this stuff is going to be worth a lot of money someday. It's an investment. Like, this is better than a 401k. This is better than a big savings account. Trust me, it's going to be worth a lot of money. So those are definitely things that you have to do and say to not get, you know, put out in the yard.
There you go. Hey, look, happy wife, happy life.
As they say.
All right. Our next question comes from Lauren Hall 21. They want to know, do you have a favorite vintage Simpsons clothing item in your collection or not a part of your collection?
So I think, you know, there are still shirts that I forget about until I open my, I have like this little shelf in my room with drawers, and that's like the only way. I used to try to have the shirts hanging around the room and stuff, and that quickly, you know, it's just impossible. So I've got like this little shelf with drawers full of shirts and probably more shirts than it can actually hold. And so every time I go through them, I find a shirt that I sort of forgot about or haven't really thought about in a while. And when I went to make those reels, I mean, people that follow Bart of Darkness probably saw these, but I did a couple reels in a row where I just hung a bunch of the shirts and was sort of flipping through them. And that was pretty recently. So I actually have this fresh on the brain. And I think, you know, out of all the things that they did, out of all the shirts that they've made, out of all the stuff being made currently, all of that, I think my favorite thing ever is the Bartman shirt from 89. I think there is, you know, I talk about the Burger King dolls really just having some, like, there's like a deeper connection to those dolls because they were so early into the show and they really just sort of encompass so much of that like childhood nostalgia. I think the Bartman 89 tee is that too, because when they made that shirt, they didn't know that Bartman wasn't going to be used on the show at all. They didn't really know what kind of character he was or if he was actually going to be a thing or if it was just a shirt for a joke. I don't think they really knew. It was like one of many sketches that Matt drew and Sam Simon redrew, that just, you know, they didn't know. We always talk about how they didn't know if they were even going to make it past that first season. No one had a clue what The Simpsons would become. So I think for what that shirt represents and just like how it makes me feel to look at it and think about how little they knew when it was printed or drawn, it's got to be the Bartman from 89. And also one of only like three or four shirts that existed in it in 1989 and that are dated as such. So I think it makes it kind of special in that way too. It's cool to see that little 89 copyright instead of a 1990.
For sure. This is not vintage at all, but one of my new favorite clothing items are a pair of the Simpsons Stan socks that I ordered from the Bart of Darkness Instagram bio link.
Man, Ibarra, wouldn't it be nice if other people could use that link to buy socks?
Yo, I'm trying to spread the cheer. You know, I think everyone's feet would benefit from having some fresh
socks. Wait a minute. They can use that link.
What? It's still active?
I just realized as I was saying that if you go to Bart of Darkness right now or the description of this episode, you can use my link and buy some socks. And your boy gets a little cut of that. Isn't that something?
Damn, 2022 is off to a great start so far.
Buy some Simpson socks.
Thank you, Lauren Hall. All right, this next question comes from another mutual friend of ours, our boy Daniel. Well, let me go by his username because I do love the username. This comes from Who Daniel Is. Daniel wants to know which character that we either don't know much about or haven't seen in a while would you like to see more of? I really like Just Stamp the Ticket Man. Deep cut.
I love the Just Stamp the Ticket Man, also known as the guy who punches that dude in the face at the beginning of Bart of Darkness for singing Sunshine on My Shoulder. I love the design of that guy. He looks so angry, so miserable. Yeah, I love every time I see that character. You know, at this point, I don't think there's a single character on the show that's off limits to get their own story. I mean, we just saw like the most in-depth story about Martin that we've ever gotten on the show. We had a story about Sarah, Chief Wiggum's wife. So we've been getting stories about characters that we never thought we would see full episodes based around. So I think at this point, no one is off limits. So maybe we will get a Just Stamp the Ticket Man episode, but when I think about this, the thing that comes to mind and the thing that I landed on is one of my favorite episodes of all time is Homer's Phobia. I think it really, you know, does a good job of addressing why it's ignorant to think the way Homer does in that episode. And it really, you know, does a good job of handling a sort of delicate subject, especially for the time, in the way that it does. I would love to see another story with John from that episode. I'd like to see, you know, how his collectible store is doing. I'd like to sort of get more of an update on his life. And just sort of see where he is current day, have him check back in with the Simpsons. I feel like they've used him in the background or made a joke with him once or twice since then. I can't really place the episode, but I feel like you've seen him since, but we haven't gotten a real story or anything really of substance since that episode. So I would love to see another one about John, who never gets a last name, I don't think, on the show.
I know that you're knocking the dust off, you know, and whatnot, and I kind of want to help you out with a very random and impromptu trivia, Simpsons trivia.
Hit me with a trivia question.
Come on, man. All right, first of all, and it's going to be, you know, for our boy Daniel, it's going to just be about Just Stamp the Ticket Man. What was his first appearance?
His first appearance, if I am not mistaken, is in, oh my God, what's the name of the episode? It's the one where When Flanders Failed.
Good job.
Woo!
Very good. Okay. He also appears in another episode. This one looks like it's recent, with a pop icon is what we'll say at this point.
Based on that wording, I'm going to have to guess he's in the Lady Gaga episode, which I don't remember.
That boy good. No, that was good. That was good. All right. And last question I got, and maybe I'll do a follow-up too. Who voices Just Stamp the Ticket Man?
I believe that it is Hank Azaria.
Ding, 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 ding. I wish I had a...
Man, yeah, where's the bells and whistles on your soundboard?
Put it in post for me. Okay. Well, thank you so much for that question, Daniel. I'm going to move on to the next one. It comes from Pio045. But they want to know, if you would do a cameo on the show with one line, what would it be? Are you a background cameo guy?
Man. So I will admit that when I first thought about this question, or when I first read it, my assumption was that it was like when I saw one line, for some reason, my brain read one word. So I was sitting there forever, like, I don't know. There's not one word that I can say. I honestly, even a line, I don't know what that would be. I mean, what would I tell Bart not to have a cow? Like, would I say, you know, hey, Lisa, let's go get some beets. I mean, everything that I think of would be kind of lame because I'm not as funny as the writer. So I wanted to include this question because it's a fun thing to think on. I want everyone listening to think on it, but honestly, I have no idea. Bader, what would you say?
Ooh, on the spot. Damn, one line? It's like, damn.
Yeah, you got like, one little sentence. Okay, okay. You know?
It would be directed to Homer or Bart. I would tell them, well, turns out in 2022, you can make friends with salad. Mic drop, curtain closed, boom.
Yeah, for being on the spot, that's really good, Bobby. That's good.
Feel free to include this or not, but do you have anything to give away? Do you have any like spare Simpson stuff?
So I will say nothing that is not.
I got an idea.
Okay, hit me with your idea.
I'll give you the idea first. I think it just comes from, you know, how I run things on the short box. I love inviting listeners to submit ideas, especially like with these very kind of like open-ended questions,
yeah,
right, that are kind of like, wonder what other people would say.
Yeah.
I almost feel like you should invite the Simpsons are Greater Than listeners to submit what their one line on The Simpsons show would be and just do like a fun little giveaway.
You know, Botter, that is a great idea. And as you were saying that, I thought about it. I do have some more like official giveaways that I'm going to do soon. But okay, what I do have is I get a monthly box from Kid Robot. And that is not a brag. I'm sort of doing like a little partnership with them. And I have been giving some of that stuff away.
Still a flex.
Yeah. But in a recent box, they sent me something that I've already given away before. So I probably won't include it in the next giveaway. And that is one of the Binky three-eyed fish, Blinky. I just said Binky, which is the name of the rabbit with one ear and also my cat's name. Blinky, the three-eyed fish, they made like a piece of sushi.
Oh, man. I've been looking... I shouldn't have asked for this giveaway. I want that, but that's even better. Hell yeah, that's a great giveaway.
Botter, honestly, I thought I already gave it to you, but too late because you put me on the spot, and that's what I remembered like, that I had.
I
but
set I, myself up. No, I love it. I love it. That's a good giveaway.
Botter set himself up for failure here. But no, if you submit a question via DM on Bart of Darkness or Simpsons is Greater Than, or even to my email, which you can find in the description or on the bio of my account, send me an answer. What would your line be on the show? And I'll give, you know, just because everyone needs time to catch up on the podcast. I will let this run. We are recording this on Saturday, April 9th. I will let this giveaway stay open until May. That's so fair. From now plenty until fair. May 1st, that gives you plenty of time to listen, and I'll have to make a post about this or something. Submit what your one line would be on the show, and on the first episode that drops in May, so I guess that would be May the 4th. May the 4th be with you. I will pick a winner to get that little piece of Blinky sushi. It's a really cool figure, so you guys want that. So
yeah,
submit.
Yeah, you guys want it because I wanted it. But you know what, Warren? I almost want to say you should just reward the diehard Simpsons Greater Than listeners, man. Like,
hey.
Like, if you're hearing this, then you know about the contest, and you got a one leg up. I mean, you got like a heads up. So I'm just saying, do what you will.
I really like that, and I'll sweeten the pot a little bit.
Come on, man.
If you leave a review for the podcast.
All right, now you're
and,
just doing too much.
And no. You can enter. You can enter with a submission. Just send me a message. Give me your line and what it would be. And this is not going to be a random pick. I'm going to choose based on which one I think is best.
Oh, got to
see
the funnier the better. Come on,
right? The funnier the better. So if you also go leave a review, preferably a positive one. Don't go be like, this podcast fucking sucks. But go leave one and submit that also with your question and show me that you did that. And that will get that, you know. Well, I guess I can't give you an extra entry if I'm just picking.
I say just, I mean, you might have to edit some of this part out.
No, I'm not editing any of this out. We are brainstorming this live on the podcast. Everyone's going to listen to it.
Riveting content on this Q&A episode.
Yes.
Yeah, you know what? Maybe you do have to do a post. And I guess you have to do a post then.
No, I'm not doing a post. Okay. Listen, you, this is, I will give you guys a, ooh, I'll give you guys an extra advantage.
I got it.
Botter's got it.
Let me help it out. So they send in a funny line. What would your line be if you were on The Simpsons for a cameo episode? They write it. They leave a review. If they leave a review, I mean, they got to contact you anyways.
Right.
So, I mean, just send proof, a screenshot of the review.
Sure.
And then you get the extra entry.
The only thing is, I'm not, if I do an extra entry, that would imply that it was a random pick.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
All right, look, I'm leaving all of this on the podcast because this is the kind of content that you guys want, but don't worry about the review. Do that anyway. Just do the review. Yeah, it doesn't get you anything extra in the giveaway, but submit what your one line would be between now and May 1st. And on May the 4th, on that episode, I will announce the winner of a Kid Robot Blinky piece of sushi.
There we go. Nice and simple. You got to keep it simple.
Yeah, nice and simple. We talked about it for 10 minutes, so, but you guys understand. Okay.
I like it. All right.
Yo, thank you, Botter. I like that idea.
P.O. Well, and also shout out to P.O. for the very open-ended question.
Yes.
For inspiring that. Yeah. Moving on. Our next question comes from, what is this? Rich Bargoyer? How do you say that?
Yeah. Not sure, Bergar. Rich. We're going to say Rich.
There we go. Rich is a good short. All right. Rich wants to know, do you own any animation drawings or sales of celebrity appearances? I've heard those are some of the most difficult for collectors to get their hands on. But I have a drawing of Bob Newhart from Krusty's fraudulent funeral.
So I do not. I actually do not have any like special, well, I have special ones, but I don't have any celebrity guest appearances. But you are not wrong. In fact, I think we talked about this on an episode, or maybe it was on an episode of Pod Boys or something. But there was an animation sell with Linda Ronstadt that went for like $45,000 or something ridiculous. Sales are going for a lot right now. A lot of auction sites are selling them, and I don't know if those just reach a broader audience somehow than eBay, but I feel like we're seeing sales go for crazy amounts in the last couple of years. But I do own some animation drawings and sales. So I have stuff. I have a drawing from Rosebud. I have a drawing from scenes of a class struggle in Springfield. And then I have animation cells from 3 Minute a Comic Book, Lisa on Ice, and Life in the Fast Lane. So I've got, you know, a nice little grip of that. I also have some stuff done by Bill Morrison, like original line drawings. I have a sketch that Wes Archer mailed me. So that sort of thing is really special to me. But you're not wrong, Rich. You know, stuff with celebrity cameos, depending on who it is. I don't know. I mean, I would assume the Bob Newhart one would fetch a pretty penny, but that is definitely true. Those go for a lot sometimes.
I wonder if it's that like celebrity fandom or worship like aspect coming into play. So you already have something very niche, right? Like Simpsons animation cells,
right?
On top of, you know, a cameo of, you know, an actor or a celebrity. Because, I mean, more than likely, it's the only cameo or of the show they've ever done.
Right.
So I think, you know, there's a lot of factors. So
yeah, I think it's got to be, like, just the fact that, you know, animation cells, there could be, like, a group of episodes that have similar shots and similar scenes. But something with a celebrity is going to be, it's going to be so much more limited. So I do think that makes it special. So, yeah, good question, Rich.
That makes sense. All right, and this looks to be our last question for today. This one comes from Chip Skylark. Chip wants to know, usually as I watch The Simpsons, there's always an episode that I feel like it was so me, as I can relate personal life experience and completely resonate with a character or situation because I too have experienced it. Is there an episode or episodes that resonate with you on a deeper level due to experiencing the same feelings or situations as any of the Simpsons characters in real life? That's a good question.
Yeah. As always, I had so many questions. I actually was afraid I wouldn't get to all of these. It looks like I probably could have squeezed one or two more in, but I didn't put more on here. So thanks to everyone that submitted. As always, I'll try to hold on to those and next time resubmit or we can do them again. I'm not even going to sit here and say like, oh yeah, these Q&As are going to be more regular because clearly I have not done that, but they are going to still, there's going to be more Q&As. So keep those questions coming. I did put this one last originally because I was like, I hope I at least get to this many and this is a nice one to go out on. So Chip, thank you for that. I think when I look at the show, there's a lot of episodes that mean more to me as an adult, right? There's stories that really hit home now that might not have actually meant as much to me when I was younger. And I think an episode that has been special to me for a long time and probably did impact me when I was younger, whether I realized it or not, that really hits home now is Lisa the Vegetarian. And this is one I talk about a lot. People that listen know that I'm vegan. I have been for some time. And I think in that episode, we see, you know, Lisa find this ideology and, you know, like myself and like several people like me, when they first get into this, I think the first time they find something in their life that really, you know, speaks to them or they feel very passionate about it, whether it be anything like not eating animals or maybe they get really into record collecting or coffee or they feel like they feel this, this passion for a thing that makes them feel like other people don't appreciate it the way that they do because they have this connection to it. I think everyone has something in their life that there was a moment where they experienced it for the first time and it felt very special and it really led them, you know, to some sense of, you know, oftentimes for worse, but sometimes for better. It made them feel better than others. And I think the reason I say it's not always for the worse is I think they generally have growth in the way that Lisa did. And they realize over time that any ideology that you carry does not inherently make you better than anyone. It is the experience of feeling those things that can lead you and others down a path. It can be meaningful and sculpt your life in a certain way. So I ramble that to say, I think in that episode, I see her go through similar things that I went through when I first became vegetarian and then vegan, where I was very moralistic about it. I wanted to tell everyone about it and talk down to people and make people, you know, everyone needs to listen to me. People are not listening to me. And I think over time you realize that like anything that you care about, it's about personal growth and the journey and what you learn from it. So that episode is very special to me. It really resonates with me because you see her go through all these different emotions. And by the end, she realizes that that's not the proper way to feel those things. She learns a lot by the end. So that is probably something that took me a lot longer to acknowledge and realize and feel that growth. They wrap it up neatly because it's an episode of a show. But I see a lot of myself in that episode and even more every year, every time I watch it, every tick on the calendar that goes to my age. So that is the one that I come back to for many, many reasons, but especially that.
Solid answer to a solid question.
Is there a particular episode, Botter? I'll put you on the spot because God, that's sort of the theme of this episode. Is there a moment, you don't have to give me an episode, but is there something that, and I think you've spoken on this before, that resonates with you, your relationship to some sort of ideology or a way that you think or something like that?
I think I've spotlighted or mentioned like Mart Sells His Soul was an episode that was pretty profound to me as a kid. I think it was maybe one of my first conscious exposures or moments of thinking about like, you know, life in a metaphysical or existential way. I remember that episode really having me like, you know, questions being brought up about like the soul and life and a lot of things that, you know, even to this day, you know, I could watch that episode and, you know, just kind of, think, right? But a recent one that I watched that resonated with me, maybe not so much from a personal, you know, maybe not because I was experiencing the same feelings or I had experienced that same situation, but And help me out here, Warren. It's the episode where Marge joins the police force.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Why am I almost called it Margin Chains, which is not the same episode. But yeah, that is a great that's a great episode.
Yeah. And why are you looking that up? You know, definitely nothing that it transpired in that episode was any situations I had ever gone through, but I remember just it resonating with me in the sense that
that episode is called The Springfield Connection. I just wanted to make sure you. I was correct before I said it.
Thank you. That was good. But that episode resonated with me because I thought their approach to kind of talking about the power dynamic of Homer and Marge in their marriage, and then, you know, Homer kind of having to deal with his masculinity was really interesting, and it was done in a very tasteful way. And you know, as someone who is with a very bold and strong woman, like I'm not saying I experienced like that level of like, you know, questioning my masculinity or manhood, but it was an interesting to see it, you know, from that perspective done in a cartoon, that Homer was having to deal with these emotions of feeling less like a man. And it's like, well, I've never been in that position per se, but I know plenty of other, you know, couples who have dealt with these things. And, you know, honestly, it wasn't done as well as, you know, how Homer and Marge did. So
right.
That is an episode that I think about that has resonated with me on a deeper level on some like adult shit, right? Like,
yeah.
Damn. Yeah.
I'll add to that and say, you know, I think it's no secret that when you talk about The Simpsons, when you look at some of these episodes and you think about, you know, the things that they were talking about that were way ahead of their time. I mean, Lisa the Vegetarian, way ahead of its time. Homer's phobia, way ahead of its time. These are conversations that weren't being had in every household. You know what I mean? These are things that not a lot of people were talking about. And I think Springfield Connection is a great example of just this, you know, it's a theme throughout The Simpsons, but this toxic masculinity of Homer, where he,
there we go, yeah,
everything good makes work. Him, he's threatened by everyone. He's threatened by, you know, Marge doing something better than him. He's threatened by Marge respecting Ned Flanders. And I think it does, you know, it approaches that topic in a really great way that by the end you realize, like, you know, there is no reason to feel like, you know, a man's job is to do this or to do that. Like, we all are human beings. We're all trying to figure out how we want to navigate this life and support our partners and those that we love. And I think that episode does a good job of that. And like you said, you know, being with a, you know, a strong woman, I can say honestly that I relate to that as well. My wife, you know, I always joke that she's way smarter and way funnier than me and the person that keeps me in line. And I don't say that just as a joke, but I do believe that, you know, there is no reason for me to think I am the person that would be better equipped to deal with almost anything than her. And I think that's sort of what we see in that episode, is Homer realized by the end that he shouldn't be threatened by this person that he loves. In the same way that he would take care of Marge, she would also take care of him. And yeah, that is one of my absolute favorites. Also, we were talking about toys earlier, a great Playmates figure.
Wow. The Marge is a sprinkler guy?
Yeah.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, really, really great. Good so, Botter, that is a, I like the conversation or the idea. I like that as a talking point, what you said. I think that's a great thing to ponder on. So I like your last minute answer there,
man. You know, I mean, that's why you keep me around.
Well, guys, you know, I could sit here and answer 30 questions, but I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to make you all listen to a 3-hour conversation. But as always, it means so much that you guys submit these questions. And, you know, obviously there is a, you know, an appetite for these sort of episodes, which is why you all continue to send me these questions when I prompt you. And I have a lot of fun just sort of, you know, answering the questions that you want answers to. And that's why I enjoy doing these, especially when I've taken a little break from the show. It's a fun reminder why I do this podcast and why I like answering questions and talking to all of you. So, you know, again, I really, really appreciate that. Botter, I'm going to plug a couple things before we get out of here and remind people about the giveaway that we just randomly decided to do in this episode. But before we do that, you know, it's always great to have you on, and I want to thank you again. I love podcasting with you and just hanging out with you, whether it's on this show or on your show. So once again, plug your projects, tell people what you have coming up, remind them about the Moon Knight shows, the Moon Knight episodes, I should say, and just do all that before we get out of here.
All right. Look, if you are a listener who enjoys comic books or comic related pop culture topics, such as the MCU or Disney Plus series, et cetera, then check out my comic book podcast called The Short Box. We've been doing it for about 10 years now, and we highlight comic book spotlights. We talk about the comic books that inspired the shows, the movies. We also talk with some of the best creators in the industry, whether they be writers, artists, or even behind the scenes. We like to get all types of folks on the show. And most importantly, every week we're giving you pretty awesome recommendations, entertainment recommendations at that, that are truly worthy of your time. Once again, that show is the Short Box Podcast. We're doing a weekly Moon Knight series on top of some interview questions or interview episodes that we got going on. And I always forget to plug in my other podcast, and this is more so for you music lovers.
Yeah, get it in there.
Especially if you are a vinyl collector. I recommend you check out my music podcast called Next Spin Podcast. It's all about vinyl collecting. It's me and four other friends. We meet up every month for a different theme. So we have conversations about different music genres, record collecting, and we get personal stories from DJs and other musical guests. That show is Next Spin. That's N-E-X-X-T Spin Podcast. And hopefully, yeah. And let me know, you know, if you're coming from the Simpsons is Greater Than podcast world, yo, give me a holla, say hi, all right?
Yeah, and also, you know, I will say, too, the reason I'm telling Botter to yet again plug his projects is because once in a while, people will message me and say, hey, you know, what did you say that Botter's podcast was? I love when he's on. What is his podcast again? Could you remind me? So while you're listening to this right now, go subscribe to Shortbox and Next Spin. And not that I mind the message, but if you want to follow him, do it right now. There's your friendly reminder. Okay. So, things to recap. I want all of you to go to the description of this episode and go buy some socks from Stance. And I don't, you know, I mentioned up top that I quit my job. I don't want you guys to think I've fallen on hard times or anything.
Or maybe, or think that.
Yeah, think that if you want. Yeah. Think that if you want. It's definitely not the case, but feel free to run with that narrative. So I don't want you to think that I am begging for your money, but hey, I like money. I think everybody likes money. So go treat yourself to some socks. I get a little cut of that. It's great. If you want to buy me some coffee, you can also do that. Say you're like, you know, Warren, I don't want a $20 pair of socks, but I would love to buy you a coffee. You can do all of that at the links in the description of this episode. You can also do it at the link in my bio on Bart of Darkness. The other thing that I want to remind you, because this is not in my notes and this is not something that we planned, which is why Botter came up with the idea and I love it. Submit to me, rather an email or DM, what your one line would be if you could be a character on The Simpsons for one episode. You get one line, what, you know, and you can give me the context. You can say, hey, I'd be a guy at the comic book store. This is what I would say. That's fine. But give me your line. Tell me why you're there, whatever you want. And I will pick a winner on May 4th to give a Kid Robot Blinky piece of sushi, a very cool figure. Please look it up. And so, yeah, do that. We're doing a fun little giveaway, a last minute giveaway. Botter, do you have anything else before I send us off?
Oh, man, send us off. It's been a lot of fun.
All right. Well, aside from that, if you have any questions or comments, you can email me at simpsonsisgreat@gmail.com. If you like this podcast, please consider leaving me a review on Apple or anywhere that accepts reviews. You can do it on Spotify. As I often remind you, you can do it on anywhere. You can follow the official Instagram account at Simpsons is Greater Than or on Twitter at Simpsons is Great. If you're curious about me or my Simpsons collection and this is the first time you're hearing this podcast or hearing about me, just search for Bart of Darkness on Instagram or Twitter and you will find me there. And I'll see everybody later.